Bless you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, devil, there ain't no stopping me. In Jesus' name. Yeah. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah, isn't he? He's the champion, right? He's not the defeated one. And you know what that means if he's not the defeated one? If you're in Christ, you're not defeated either. Glory to God. I can laugh at the devil all day long. Oh, yeah. And do. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been talking on this subject of love. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about high-level love, didn't we? We talked about this. What do we call in high-level love? It's this unconditional love, this agape love. When God talks about love, and it talks about God being love in 1 John, right? When it talks about that, it's talking about this high-level, this unconditional love. In other words, God loves you no matter what. It doesn't matter, no matter what your hair looks like, right? It doesn't matter what you dress like. It doesn't matter what. God loves you no matter what you've done. You know, remember we sang that song on Sunday, and no matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, no matter how far I fall, he'll pick us up again, right? It's all because he loves you so much. And the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? So anyway, so let's get into this, man. I am so excited about this. When I did that first teaching 2 weeks ago on high-level love, I honestly thought, I am going to give them a one-message deal, man. I'm just going to... I've been giving them series after series after series, 8, 9, 10-week series, right? So I thought, I'm just going to give them, I'm going to give them a one meal plan. I'm going to give it to them. And then I came back next week, and I thought, okay, maybe it'll just be two. And I'll just go ahead and we'll talk about this, where the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, to pursue this love, right? To really go after it. So I thought, okay, I'll just share that with them, and then we'll go on to something else. Well, the Lord has other plans. So we're going to keep on love, right? How many know that's a good subject? You know, and we said this last week, you can't, there isn't anything greater to study. Love is the most important subject in the Bible. In fact, Elena is my poster child tonight for my subject, because she's wearing her love t-shirt. She's looking at me like, poster child? What do you mean, poster child? But I came in a while ago, and I sit down, and I just happened to look over, and I saw her shirt. I'm like, oh, that is perfect. So when I asked her to get up and spin around, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just kidding. But that is awesome. But there is no greater subject. Why? Because the Bible says God is love. How many would agree that there is no greater subject in the Bible than God? And the Bible says that God is love, right? Faith don't even work without love, right? And the reason we have hope, you know, the Bible says faith, hope, and love, these remain. And it says the greatest of these is love, right? Why is it great? It's because your hope is in love himself. Your hope is in God. Your hope is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God's love. The Bible says we are conformed to the image of the Son of God's love. In Romans is what it says. I love that. We are conformed to the image of the Son of God's love. So it's all about love, isn't it? And so I'm going to declare to you tonight, we are on a series. So we're going to start talking about the meaning of love. The meaning of love. But tonight, so in other words, this series is going to be about what love is, right? We're going to take the next few weeks, and we're going to talk about what love is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. But tonight, I'm going to start the series with this. Well, I guess I kind of started it 2 weeks ago. But this part of this series, we're calling the meaning of love. And even though starting next week, I'm going to start telling you what love is, how many know sometimes it's helpful to know what love is not? Sometimes understand the thing. You kind of need to know what it's not, so you can kind of help you to know what it is, right? And so tonight's session is called What Love Is Not. What Love Is Not. So we're going to look right into that. But we're not going to get into verse 4. We're going to stop at verse 3. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this, okay? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me. And I would encourage you, if you have one, to bring your Bible with you. Bring a notepad. Because what I'm going to be teaching on in this series, you're going to want to take notes. Because you're not going to remember everything. And there's going to be things that I say that you're going to be like, oh. And you're going to want to write it down. And you're going to want to take it home. And you want to, when you get a chance, to kind of look over those notes again. Because there's some things I'm going to say that's really going to help us to understand what love is. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of believers don't even know what, when we say walking in the love of God, walking in love, they don't even know what walking in love means. Yeah, you know, but 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, describe for us, God put a beautiful roadmap right there in those four verses. And in fact, I've said it this way many times, every believer, everybody say every believer. Every believer should be able to find themselves somewhere in those four verses. Yeah. Now, granted, maybe you're not going to find yourself in every verse. Maybe everything about love you're not doing just right. But you should be able to find yourself. And the ones that you feel like you're falling short on, you're not executing very well, you should be intentionally trying to get yourself to grow in that area, right? So anyway, so let's talk about what love is not. And that's going to really set us up to talk about what love is over the next few weeks. But let's read this here. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says this, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, right? But I didn't have love, or I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Anybody besides me old enough to remember what the gong show is? Right? It's our blessed young people over here, they're like, dude, we have no idea. We are in here. Yeah. She's like, you guys are old. That's what she's saying. Elaine is like, you're old. All right? And I am. Oh, I am older. I'm not old. I'm just older than you. Okay. Anyways, for those young ones. All right, but anyway, so he says here, he says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all the God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, don't you think that would be awesome? I mean, you've got the gift of prophecy. You understand all of God's secret plans. All of God's secret plans. And you possess all knowledge. Don't you think you'd be somebody by then? But the Bible says, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. In fact, the Amplified says that part this way. If I could do all that, if I had the faith to move mountains, but I didn't have love, I would be a useless nobody. In other words, in the eyes of God, it doesn't matter what all kind of how super spiritual you think you are. See, Paul, what you got to understand, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Corinth, even historically, is one of the most wicked cities in world history. Yeah, even today. Corinth is historically known for its paganism, for its idol worship, for its, I mean, I'm not even going to go into all what it's, you know, I'm not even going to the sexual part, okay? But Corinth is historically known for being a wicked, evil city. And so Paul is writing to the new believers at who had spiritual gifts. They just came out of, you know, if we backed up, you're coming right out of 1 Corinthians 12, which is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? And they were excited about the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, these were people that believed in Christ and gave their hearts to the Lord, and they were excited about it. And but here's the problem. They were more excited about the gifts than how they treated people. And this obviously bothered Paul enough to where he says, okay, I've got to address this in a letter to this church in Corinth. And so anyway, so here he is. And he says, if you can do all these things, if you had faith that you can move mountains, but you didn't love others, you would be nothing. Verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, then I could even boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So let's talk about a little bit tonight about what love is not. Okay? Let's look at this word. Now, I'm going to mention a couple of words. They're coming really from the King James or the New King James, but I'll help you to correlate it with what we just read. The Bible says here in verse 1, it says, for if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I want you to look at this word, noisy gong. Paul used these words for a very specific reason, because he knew who he was talking to. And see, what you've got to understand is in that culture, these people, the people, some of these believers had come out of this pagan worship, right? And they were in this environment where they heard this noise, this constant, unending beating of drums and clanging of cymbals, so much that it was annoying, right? So let's look at some definition here. Brass. The Bible, New King James, and the King James uses the word sounding brass. The reason the word brass was used, brass is an old Greek word that referred to metal, but not just any metal. It referred to a metal that was either, it was either a bronze or a copper with a little bit of tin mixed in with it. And what tin would do, the tin, when you hit it, would cause it to reverberate. It's like, it would just kind of go on and on. And it seemed like it would never end. Anybody ever heard something like that? That's why it makes me think of the Gong Show. Yeah. For you young whippersnappers who don't know what that is, it was a game show, and someone would have to perform some kind of a talent or what they thought was a talent. If they didn't get gonged, then the panel considered them to have a talent, and they got through to the next round. But if the panel of judges didn't think that was really a talent or wasn't very good, then they'd take this big old mallet ball thing on a stick, and they would boom, and that thing would go boom, and it was just hideous sound, right? I don't know if any of you ever heard it. It's almost like, I kind of like thinking of it as if you took something and held up an old, who in here remembers the old metal garbage cans? Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like, how many, imagine up there, and you keep hitting that thing over. You hit it just once, it's irritating. Yeah. You just hit it over and over and over, right? So that's what this brass was. It was a bronze or a copper, and it had a small amount of tin, and the tin would cause let me put it in these words. It would cause a hollow, empty sound when beaten. And so Paul is using these words for a very specific reason. He was helping these people he was trying to help these new believers to see that, hey, I don't care how super spiritual you think you are, if you don't have love for other people, if you don't have the love of God flowing through you, then you are doing a lot of talking, but it just becomes annoying, empty, hollow. It's like we say this phrase around here sometimes, and I didn't coin it, but even though I say it a lot, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. See, and these believers, they were so jacked up spiritually, they were just like so hyper super spiritual, but they had no love in them. You know, and they would go around, they would say this, and they'd say that, but there was no love in them, okay? So let's talk about the word sounding, because he uses, in the King James, in the New King James, he uses sounding brass, a sounding brass. The word sounding comes from a Greek word, the Greek word is actually echo. That kind of tells you where we're going with sounding. It's the actual Greek word is echo, and it describes a noise that reverberates or echoes. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's like I said, it just goes on and on. And it becomes, and it's because it's tin and it's made of these metals, it is very irritating, very frustrating to people around it, right? But when you put these two Greek words together for brass and for sounding and for brass, when you put them together, they portray the endless beating of a metal that produces a hollow, annoying, irritating echo that seems to eternally reverberate. So Paul is saying, listen, you can have all the spiritual gifts you want to. In fact, in the last chapter of chapter 12, he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. But let me show you a greater way. Let me show you a life that is far better than just a life with spiritual gifts. And here's the cool thing about our God and about the Bible is it's not either walk in love or have spiritual gifts. This is what's awesome about God. It's about walking in love with your spiritual gifts. Right? It goes back to what Ephesians chapter 4 says, speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. It's so important for us to speak the truth. Sometimes you see people like, man, they need to hear the truth. But here's the deal. Just because a person needs to hear the truth does not mean that you're the person to speak that truth. Because if you're just irritated, man, I know what the Bible says. I'm going to let them know what the Bible says. Well, there is absolutely no love in that. And if you're speaking the truth, but you're not speaking it in love, then most likely it's not going to be received. Right? I mean, when you try to give your little children medicine, you got to sneak it into something. Right? She says it still doesn't work. They are smarter than we give them credit for. But what are we saying? If you go to someone and you're mad and you're frustrated about something, hey, you know, husbands, wives, no. You know what I'm saying? I mean, me and Heather have learned not to come at one another when we're angry, or not to come at another when we're mad. But we kind of simmer down. How many know it's good to go to somewhere and count to 10 or something? Just, you know, there's times I've had to tell Heather, I'll be back, and I'll walk outside, and I'll either walk down the street and back, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. That's one of the quickest ways it cools me down. I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Why? What am I doing? I'm starting to get the mind of Christ. Okay. Then I begin to ask, well, Lord, how do I handle this? And there are sometimes he says, well, just go back in there and begin to explain this to her and then all that. And then more often than not, though, he says, okay, I don't really want to talk to you about Heather. I want to talk to you about you because your attitude and your actions are nasty. You know, I remember when me and Heather first got married, and man, I mean, it was ecstasy for about like 2 days or something. And so it seemed. I mean, it's never as bad as Heather tells me. She goes, you make it sound like the first few years of our marriage was absolutely horrible. And it wasn't. It wasn't. We had a lot of good times. But it just seems, you know, sometimes when you're fighting so often, it just seems like more of the attention is on the fighting than it is on the good times, you know. But, so it wasn't that bad. But I do remember in the times that when it was bad, it did seem bad, you know, I was constantly going to God, this woman that you gave me. Like, God, I know that's right because that's scriptural. That's what Adam said. Right? But I wasn't no more right than Adam was. Right? And so the Lord, he would refuse to talk to me about Heather. And I was like, God, we got to do something here. Come on, let's get together on this. Right? What are you going to do about her? And finally, I stopped enough to listen. And he says, Heather is not your problem. You are your problem. And I had to start learning how to walk in love, right? It wasn't a, because what does the Bible say? And we're going to get into it starting next week. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not envious. Love does not boil over with jealousy. Love does not insist on its own rights. We're going to talk about all this. But love does not insist upon its own rights, but what it can do for others, right? And so that's where we're going with this series. And so God finally got that through my head and down into my heart, things started getting better. I mean, it took some time because I had to completely renew my way of thinking. I had to go through an absolute mental overhaul, man. I mean, it was just like, God, surely it was her. And Heather's, you know, Heather knows that she had to grow in some of those things too. And, you know, but I think I had to grow more. But anyways, Paul knew what he was talking about when he was using these words. And he's talking about, you know, the endless beating of metal that produces hollow, annoying, irritating echo that seems to reverberate eternally. So what Paul was saying to the people is like, your spiritual gifts are great, but you need to learn how to walk in love. You know, and every believer should be able to find themselves in 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to me. And don't get discouraged by this, but listen to me. Every believer should be able to find themselves in every part of every verse in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the goal. That's why I said don't get discouraged just because you see an area that maybe you're struggling in, you're not really getting that right. That's why the Lord has us teaching this, right? So we can get better. So we can get stronger. So the Bible talks about growing up spiritually, right? Getting stronger in our faith. Getting stronger in understanding. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1:8, it says, meditate day and night upon the scriptures that you may learn to do the things that are in there. Then your way will be made prosperous, and then you will have good success, right? And the Bible says faith works through love. So how many know that if you want your faith to work, you want it to work effectively, how many know if it works through love, you might want to learn something about this love that it's talking about, right? And it is talking about this agape, this high-level love, this amazing love called the love of God, all right? So... See, what you got to understand about the people in Corinth is they believed that this kind of activity was necessary to reach their spiritual ecstasy. They to get to their spiritual pinnacle, man, they believed that constant clanging and all this was necessary. And so Paul was using that as an illustration to help them to see that if you don't have love and all that clanging is, it's just annoying to the people who can see that you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. You can't even go around talking about, oh, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Man, the love of God just flows out of me when you're turning around and yelling at people and being rude to people and being unkind to people and not being polite, right? And as I told you 2 weeks ago, the love of God has been poured in our heart. We have all the love that we need right here. But what we started talking about 2 weeks ago is that it's kind of like we have a spiritual closet, right? And we have to reach, the Bible says to put on love. It says to be intentional for you and you and you and you and you, right? For you to be intentional about putting on the love of God. So it's not something that's going to happen through osmosis in your sleep or it's, you know, oh, Lord, just let it all rain down on me, Lord. I feel it flowing like warm oil. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right? No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be because you have made a decision. I am going to walk in the love of God. Yeah, you're depending on the grace of God. It's not all up to you. Right? But you have to be the one to step out. The Bible says when we draw near to him, then he draws near to us. So when we take that step and say, God, I'm serious about this, God, help me to grow in this love. Help me to grow in the love of God. Help me to treat people with your love. Help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to love them the way you love them. When you take that step and you're intentional about it, then God says, okay, we got somebody that's serious about it. He's going to come on and start helping, right? Amen. All right, so what else we got here? All right, understand this. As time passed by, the word for these clanging cymbals and whatever, this was the very word that people began to associate and use to describe someone that would talk incessantly, unceasingly. It means the same thing. Okay. Heather got on. We're just talking about me using big words. Okay. But anyway, it's the same word. And so as time went on, this word that Paul used about, clanging, you know, cymbals and all these kind of things, it was the very word that people began to use to describe somebody would just talk unceasingly. And you know what I'm talking about. Anybody ever met somebody that all that talk? They're all talk, no action, but all talk. Want to tell you all the things they ever did. All the wonderful things. They don't want to tell you about the bad stuff, but they just, you know, and if you've done it, they've done it better. Yep. If you've done it, they've done it more. They've done it better. You might as well just sit on the back row because you don't even come close to where they need to be sitting. Right? Because they are all that in a bag of chips, a t-shirt, every bit. I mean, they're just, What do they call it? I am the cat's meow. Whatever. Whatever that's supposed to mean. But anyways. But we've all met people like that, right? Oh, wow. Have you ever been around those people and then it just seems like, you know, all of a sudden they're talking no longer, it was no longer words to you, it was just noise. Wah, 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 wah. Right? You ever been around people like that? I mean, you, after listening to them so much, you're not really even listening. You're kind of looking at them, and you're trying to be kind enough to let them, make them think you're listening, but you're like, what am I doing once all this noise stops? What am I going to do when I get out of this conversation? What can I do to get out of this conversation? Right? So here's where this love of God comes in. Because here's our prayer. God, get these people out of my life, right? God, just help me to not have to deal. How many's not going to lie and tell the truth? We're right? We're just saying, God, banish them. So I don't care what you do, right? Just get them somewhere. Get them away from me. All right, can I give you some? I'm just going to call it news, all right? Because I don't want to call it bad news, but I'm going to give you some news. How many know? Have you discovered yet that God's not going to get all those people away from you? Yeah. You know what's crazy? Is it seems like the more you ask God to do it, the more those people show up. It's like, whoa, 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 wait, God, wait, whoa. I think you completely misunderstood what I said. And he said, and I can hear God going, no, I heard what you said, but I know what you need. It seems like all these people are around you, right? So here's the point. We're not going to ever be able to get around all until we get to heaven. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, needless talking will be banished in heaven. I don't know. But anyways, but do we understand that we're not going to be able to get away from those people? Yeah. So what do we need? What do we need to do? We need to learn how to walk in love with those people, right? So that, and that's what this is all about, isn't it? That's what Paul's really saying. He says, you know, if you could do this and you can do that, but you don't have love, it means nothing. It carries no weight with God. It's nothing you can even brag about because in God's eyes, you haven't done anything. No matter how big of a feat you feel like you've accomplished, in God's eyes, you haven't done anything unless you've learned how to walk in love with the people that he loves. Right? And so, but here's the cool thing is because he has poured that love into us. We have this high level love in us. We've just got to reach into our closet and we got to pull that love out. And you got, how many know when you go to your closet at home to put on a shirt or a blouse or pants or whatever you got hanging in your closet, you don't just stand in front of the closet and do this. And all of a sudden they just jump off the hanger and just land right on, button themselves up. This is amazing. Right? It doesn't happen, does it? Okay, if anybody here says it does, we're talking. I want to know one of two things: either how you do it, or I want to cast something out of your house, right? All right. Listen, let's talk about that other word, clanging cymbal, real quick. And this will be really short. I'm not going to go into as much on that one. But the clanging cymbal, where it says, you know, if you don't have love, you would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That word clanging cymbal is actually comes from, it's a Jewish thing that they used to do. And what it would do, it's like when the Jews were getting, the Jewish people were getting ready to go to war, they would pull out their cymbals and they'd start hitting their cymbals together. And what it did, it began to affect your mind and your emotions. It's getting you jacked up. It's like you see some of these old movies, and they're getting their men all jacked up, ready to go to war. And by the time they're done, I mean, the men are screaming, crying out for blood. Come on, let's go get them! Ah! You might have walked up, you might have rode up on your horse going, you know, I'm not really sure if you wanted to be here, but you wasn't man enough to kind of back out at that point or whatever. I don't know. What do you want to call it? But then by the end, by the time that, you know, they had their music and had their clanging and drums going, by the end of it, you were like, that's why we, you know, when you go into the gym, you listen to certain kinds of music. You don't, how many know? I mean, just tell you, I don't listen to elevator music when I'm lifting weights.
this is so nice. Oh, it's so relaxing. Why did I wait so long to do this?
Right? No, you're wanting some Eye of the Tiger or something going on, man. Come on, let's get the rock and roll going, man. Get me jacked up. And you're listening to that, and then you get up under the bar and I'll throw on two extra plates, man. I can take this thing, right? You know, that's what it would do to the people. And that's where this clanging cymbal came in. So the reason Paul used this word, because he says all this booming and banging and irritating noise, it gets you really irritated, and the clanging cymbals kind of got you to where you're ready to go fight. So what he's saying is, now this is where you need the love of God, no matter how irritating these people are to you, and no matter how much you want to fight with them verbally or otherwise, that's where you need to step back and go, wait a minute, I know I'm choosing to walk in the love of God with these people. Isn't this awesome? You ever saw it like this before? I mean, this is what these words mean. This is why Paul used the words that he used, and this was the message he was communicating. He says, no matter how irritating people can be, you need to learn to walk in the love. You need to develop the love of God in yourself to where you can deal with these people gracefully and right. Right? There is a right way to handle every situation. So here's what I'm saying. Ask God for his help to deal with these kind of people. Then you're going to be able to respond to people in the Spirit of Christ. You're going to be able to deal with them with the love of God. They're not going to go away. They're not going to disappear. They're not getting banished off the earth. And honestly, the love of God in you would not want them to be banished. You just know that there's something that they need, and you want to be asking God, how can I be an instrument to help them? How can I be a blessing to them? Help me to love the unlovable. Help me to love the irritating, right? Help me to love these people. Why? Because God loves them, right? And so we want to learn how to love people. Now, one last thing on this, and I'm going to be done. Make sure that you're not one of those people. Right? Make sure that you're not one of those people that are the irritating ones. How many know that also requires the love of God? To not be ruled and dominated by your emotions and how you feel. Right. And so no matter what's going on to you or around you, if you take the time to develop the love of God in you, to be intentional about putting on love, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, put on love, right? Put it on. We're saying, God, I'm determined to walk in your love. Father, and I ask you, I know this is not in my ability, it's not in my own strength, because I can't do this. But God, I want to walk in your love. So I am going to be intentional about walking in love. Hey, look, how many know that every day, we all have an opportunity to walk in love? I promise you, there is not one single day in your life that you do not have an opportunity. You're not going to be able to say to God, well, God, I would have developed it, but I never really had an opportunity. And he's going to be like, did you live on planet Earth? Were you ever around another human? Just one. Then you had plenty of opportunity. Did you hang out with your daughter? Did you hang out with your wife? No, I just spent all day in there with all the other pastors in the churches. Well, then you still had opportunity. Maybe even more so. Right? Come on. God's calling us to this high-level love. He's calling us to pursue this love like it's the most important thing on the earth, because it is the most important thing on the earth. And he's showing us tonight, this is the kind of people, this is what the love of God is for, is to help us to deal with these kind of people. And it's also for to help us not to be one of these kind of people. We don't want to be the noisy gong or the clanging cymbal type of person, do we? But in that, we also want to be able to walk in love with those people that are like that. Because, hey, you know, people have got a lot of things going on in their life. And I always try to see somebody going through something and see them and respond in different crazy ways. I mean, yeah, there's some, it kind of can create some irritation in you. But you need to stop and ask yourself, or remind yourself, I mean, should I say, you don't know what they've gone through today. You don't know what they're dealing with. Not that that justifies how they act, but you don't know what they've gone through. They may not even be a Christian. You are. They, if they're not a Christian, they don't have access. They don't even have access to this kind of love. But you, as a believer, do. You do have access. In fact, this kind of love is already within you. The Bible says in Romans 5, it says that the day you got born again, that he poured his love by the power of the Holy Spirit into you. So you've got it, but now it just has to be developed. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this tonight? Glory to God. Go ahead and stand up on your feet.